Thank you, Brother Justin. Thank you, Church, for the business meeting. Look forward to our upcoming conference, September 13th and 14th, and all that we're going to accomplish at that time. We ask you to continue to pray about that event as it's coming up. If you will, turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I have a little bit of time, and I'm going to have to work hard getting this finished, but I will finish it. I've skipped some of it. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report." By faith, these elders obtained a good report. "Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." Because God created them by his voice and his words, and not by substance. "By faith, Abel offered up unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained the witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. Before he was his translation, he had this testimony, that he had pleased God. He had pleased God by his faith. But without faith, it is also impossible to please God, to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Now, there's so much here we can talk about, and I'm kind of in a hurry this morning, so if I stumble over my words and verses things, excuse me. I do that naturally, but this morning will be tough. So let's start with our first point here. And that is, we're going to look at the substance of faith. The substance of our faith. You say, well, the substance of faith is what it is. No, the substance of our faith goes a lot deeper than we might think. So when God said, "For this is faith is the substance of things hoped for, the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen." Now, that's our faith. First, of two things. First, it is the substance. And second, it is the evidence of things not seen. So let's look at the word substance, because this word defines what the word faith means to us. What does the word... Now, without faith in God, you can't please God. Isn't that what he said? It's not just faith that God exists. It's not just faith that God can do things. It's faith in God as a sovereign being doing as he chooses. It's faith in God that he can accomplish all things, that he is omnipresent, he is omniscient, that he is all-powerful, all-holy, all of these things. This is believing in God and who God is. This word substance means confidence, provides. Strong says it is a setting under or support or assurance. He goes on to say, objectively or subjectively, it means confidence. So the word substance is the confidence. So faith is the substance or the assurance are the accompaniments of the things we hope for in this faith. It is the underlining that lifts up the faith, holds up the faith, and that is the evidence of things that we don't see. We believe God. If you listen to the news, you heard, I can't remember what country it was, an airplane crashed and killed, I think it was 60-something people aboard. And two people, as I've talked about many times, about sometimes God controls things. And you're late for a purpose. You might be late for an airplane ride somewhere, and God has a purpose. These two people missed a flight, and they credited God for it because they missed a flight. See, that's what we do. That's how we handle. That's the substance of our faith right there. Now, let's go to Hebrews chapter 1, if you will, a few chapters back. And let's look at the Greek word again for substance. In verse 3 of chapter 1, I'm going to read this scripture and see if the word substance, you can find that Greek word somewhere in this verse. See what word you think might be the same Greek word as substance. Not close, but identical. Who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he by himself purged our sins, sitting down on the right hand of majesty on high. Any idea which word in that might be the identical Greek word? And remember, it means competence. It means assurance. It means sitting under or support. It is the word person. If you look up his person, or the word person, in that scripture right there, under his person, you will find out that the word person, talking about Jesus, is the same identical Greek word to the word substance in chapter 11, verse 1. So, in his persons, he, that is the confidence we have, that is the underlying strength to it all, is the reason he is holding up all things by his power. Speaking of Jesus. And when he by himself, that is the substance of himself, purged our sins, sitting on right hand, majesty on high. So the outward manifestation of the person of Jesus Christ, the outward manifestation of the person of Jesus Christ, speaks of the divine essence of God and God's existence, and expressed in the revelation of his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ being the substance in his person, that is, in his human body, is the substance, meaning his person is something which stands underneath or the foundation. He is our ground of hope and our confidence. He defines our faith. Jesus Christ does. His person, his exact, the one who was born of the seed of the woman, the one who comes down to this world and lived a holy life, never sinning, the one who knew no sin, the one who sacrificed his whole life for us, the one who sacrificed in his death for us, the one who allowed his blood to be shed. They didn't take it. They didn't kill Jesus. Get off of that. Jesus gave his life. He could have called a whole zillion angels, although he didn't need them, to stop everything, couldn't he? He could have stopped it with his own power. But he didn't. He sacrificed himself for our sins. He, in his person, is the same thing as the word substance in verse 1 of chapter 11, and is the underlying foundation that holds up everything. Our faith in him. Everything in us is about our faith in Jesus Christ. Let's go to going to Colossians 1, if you will. So Jesus was not just another prophet, because he was superior to the prophets, because he is the brightness of God's glory. Therefore, through his person, we have faith in God, faith in him as our Savior. His person is our faith foundation, our faith confidence. Vincent wrote these words. He says that the meaning is that the Son is out is the outraying of the divine glory exhibited in himself, his person, the glory and majesty of the divine being. He is the glory outside showing the divine presence and being of God. Isn't that beautiful? We see Jesus, we see God. We've never seen God. You've never seen God. Nobody's ever seen God. They've heard him. They haven't seen him. You know why? God's not a being of body. He is an everlasting, eternal being. He is a spirit. And we can't see him. But in Jesus, he's our foundation, isn't he? His person and what he accomplished in his life on this earth for us. The same God that sustains the world and all of creation is the same God that sustains our faith in God through the person of Jesus Christ. The Son of God, we've studied this on Wednesday night now, and our belief of God, and how that in the beginning, God, Elohim, the plural of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit created the world. He just spoke it into existence. See, that faith sustains that. Excuse me. Who is also his beautiful, who also holds this beautiful world and universe together. People worry about climate change. Oh, we hear also. Climate change is nothing but theft. Climate change doesn't exist. It may exist in some form. The world may be heating. In fact, I believe it may be. But it's not because cows pass gas. It's not because we cook on gas stoves. Not because you have an engine that burns gasoline. It's because one day God's going to melt this earth with fervent heat. I believe Jesus is coming soon. I have to believe that because I have to be ready every day for Jesus to return. And so do you all. Go to Colossians. I don't think I've read this yet. Chapter 1, verse 15. Excuse me, my allergies are killing me this morning. Speaking of Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the substance in his person, is the image of the invisible God. We can believe in God because we've seen Jesus. And the firstborn of every creature. Listen, for by him were all things created that were in heaven, that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Father gave it all to him, didn't he? All to the Son. Everything's his now. And he is before all things, and listen, by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. The preeminence is his person. The preeminence is that he sustains our faith, that he sustains our view of God. We see God in Jesus, do we not? Therefore, we know that he is God, don't we? We know that he was there during creation because the Lord said in John 1:1, it says here, but he also says in John 1:1, which we looked at last Wednesday night, for in the beginning was Word, and the Word was with God. And then verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. When it says there toward the end, maybe, I don't have the verse number, maybe 17 or so, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. The word consist means he holds them together. Okay? Okay, okay. He, Jesus, holds the entire universe together. If Jesus is holding the universe together, then climate change must be a why. Because, and the way they look at it, climate may be changing somewhat, but not because of us. Because Jesus is holding it together. You know what else he holds together? Our salvation. Our life. Our church. Our being. Everything we do in, for God in life, he holds it all together, doesn't he? It's because of him, all these things consist. He's sustaining it all. To say that we're messing up the universe because we drive cars, is everybody looks at God as weak and insignificant, do they not? They don't understand his sovereign being. They choose not to believe his sovereign being and his sovereign existence. They choose not to believe that he is not sovereign in anything, but they beg him for things. You ever heard most people talk to God, or Arminians talk to God? I don't know how many I've heard them. Say, Lord, will you please save so-and-so? And then they turn around and explain to you how God doesn't have anything to do with salvation. See, it's all make-believe to them. But we look at reality. And the reality is Jesus in his person is our sustainer of faith. Same word. So faith is believing God. When we look at Hebrews chapter 11 here, verse 8 down to verse 22, those people are found in the first five books of the Bible. And they all had great faith, didn't they? Noah built a boat, a very large ship. This wasn't just a boat, it was a ship. I can't remember the exact dimensions, but the dimensions of what Noah built over the 120 years was a ship. It didn't just carry eight souls. It carried two of all animals. Had a lot going on, didn't it? Plus food for them animals and things like that. It hadn't, as far as I know, it had never rained. What was he building the ship for? Because he believed God. God told him it was going to flood. People were going to die because of their sins, and he believed God. Abraham, look at his great faith. And Sarah, a son they so much wanted, and God gave it by grace. And look what happened to that child. The Lord told him to take him out to the altar and sacrifice him. He was going to do it. He would have done it. And it's not just them. How about the disciples that followed Jesus? Sacrificing. Look at the Apostle Paul, who was Saul of Tarsus. Look at what he went through in life. He was hated by the Jews because he became a Christian. He was hated by Christians, or disliked by Christians, or suspected of Christians, either way you want to look at it, because he was Saul of Tarsus. He persecuted the church, held the coats while they stoned Stephen to death. Faith, folks. We got to have faith in God. And Jesus Christ is the sustainer of all that. He's the substance of it. He's the support of it all. He's the one that holds it all up. And because of that, he has preeminence in the world, doesn't he? He does in us, doesn't he? So, verse 3 of Hebrews chapter 11. He says in verse 1, the evidence of things not seen. In verse 3, he says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. That means he spoke them into existence. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, when they redo this, when I rebuilt that fence over the house, I took fence wire and posed. I would much have rather said fence appear. Right? I mean, that root change. You know, it'd be so easy for that, wouldn't it? Church, fill up. I mean, people, believe. I mean, we would love that power, wouldn't we? We don't have it, do we? But God does, see? He just spoke and the world was here. He spoke and the universe was here. He spoke and the stars and sun and moon and all them other fantastic things in our solar system. I was watching some of the video of Mars and that robot. It's amazing to see something. Now, a lot of people say, oh, they're really not. A lot of people still believe that man didn't walk on the moon. I don't know what to tell them. But anyway, let's move on. The worlds were created by him because he was there in Elohim and chapter 1, verse 1 of Genesis, and he spoke the world into existence. That's the reason it don't have things as they appear. We have faith that the worlds were framed or brought into existence simply by God speaking them. The substance of Jesus is what holds our faith in that, isn't it? We know God exists, don't we? We saw Jesus. You say, I ain't never seen Jesus. But then you're not saved because I see him with my faith. Every Christian sees Jesus with our faith, don't they? The word world plural. The word worlds is plural, as defined by Alfred, says the expression includes in it that all that exists under the conditions of time, space, together with those conditions of time and space themselves, conditions which do not bind God, they did not exist independently of him, but are themselves the work of his word. I got to move on. Go to Romans chapter 1, if you will. So God said of his creation, it manifests him through Jesus, making people without faith inexcusable. I'm sorry, but if you look at our universe and you say that Darwin theory is true, you need some faith. In Romans chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, I gotta hurry. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. He spoke it into existence. It's by Jesus Christ that is held together, being understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their heart and their foolish hearts were darkened. People know God exists. The biggest atheist alive knows God exists. They just hate God. They hate the fact that he does exist. You know what people hate the most of God is? He has superior power and authority over everything. That's the reason the Armenians and others hate the sovereignty of God. How dare he save sinners, some and not others? That's God's choice. That's not our choice. So he make up lies. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. What faith? Faith in Christ? Well, yeah, it's also faith in God. Jesus in his person is the same thing as when he talks about in verse 1 that sustains our faith in God and the sovereign creator of all the universe. For he cometh to God must believe that he is. Not just that he exists, but believe that he is the God of the universe. He is the God of salvation. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Don't think God will not ever forget us for the sacrifices we make for him. The heroes of history, those here, don't dismiss the ones that were with Jesus. Don't dismiss those that were martyred for the Lord. Don't forget those that are suffering today. All of them are included right here in these words. Now, let's go to our second point real quick. I've got 10 minutes. I'll try to finish. Our second point is this. The stronger our faith, the more pleasing we are to God. The Lord says, and I'm not going there, but if you want to, you can. 1 John 1, verse 7, that if we walk in the light, as he's in the light, we have fellowship with him. By faith, it says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. Verse 4. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. He was not found because God translated him. Verse 5 of our text says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of the things not seen as yet, that is the flood, right? Rain? Never saw it before. He moved with fear after God told him, prepared an ark to save, to the saving of his house. Isn't that beautiful words? Listen to the words of the scripture and it'll bring your heart to tears. Verse 7, faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place that he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And then it goes on to say, by faith, he sojourned into the land of the promise, as in a strange country, verse 8 and 9. Through faith, also Sarah herself received the strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. That faith was sustained in them. They believe God. That is their sustaining faith. We see reason to believe God in Jesus Christ. And to us, he is our sustaining faith, isn't he? God used to talk to people. He talked to Abraham. He talked to Noah. He talked to Moses. He talked to people. God talks to us only today in his word and through our spirit. So we look at Jesus, who is in the image of God, and he becomes, his person becomes, the fact that he lived, and he lived a holy life. He never sinned. The fact that he gave his life and never complained. The fact that he actually gave his life as our sustaining us. By faith, verse 11, by faith, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And it goes to speak of what people did because they had faith. I might add that in, I just talked about that. Go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And it says, verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is God, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Do we believe God? If we do, then we do it through Christ. Do we not? Our faith is sustained. It's lifted up. It's held up. Jesus Christ is the foundation under which that faith is held up to us. Two more scriptures. I'll finish. Proverbs chapter 16. And then 1 Thessalonians 4. I'm sorry, Ephesians 8. I forgot about it. See Ephesians 8. And first, in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7 says, When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. That's our faith, isn't it? that we have so much faith in God that our life is set to please the Lord. And the Lord's going to reward us for it. May not be at peace with our enemies today, but one day they will become our footstool too. John Gill said this about that verse. He says, as they do when men walk according to the rules of his word, God's word. And when he walks as he has Christ or his sustainer as an example. When he walked after the Holy Spirit and not after the flesh. When he walks by faith and does all that he does in faith. Faith is our sustainer. Jesus Christ is also our sustainer. Holds us up. It's our foundation underneath. To hold our faith up enough to where we can believe God. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1 says, furthermore, when we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, our sustainer, that as you have received us, how you ought to walk to please God, so ye will abound more and more. That faith causes you and me and all of us Christians and churches to walk for one purpose. What's that purpose? To please God. If we have any purpose in what we do and why, outside of first and foremost, the preeminence of Christ within us,